The scripture reading this evening is from Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. And it has the title given to it, The Great Prostitute and the Beast. We're reading the whole chapter. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of those whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk." And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names. And it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seventh, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, "The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth." So far this reading of God's holy word.
Our text verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth whose name have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel to see the beast, because it was, is, and is not, and is to come. Topic for this evening, the beast that a woman was sitting on. The beast the woman was sitting on. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week I explained who the woman was that was sitting on the beast. And to recap and explain to those who could not be here, Revelation 16, we read that the world's end had arrived when the seventh bowl was poured out. It will be introduced with great acts of nature, flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, great earthquake, such as there never had been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. And the great city Babylon was split into three parts. Next week, we will go into depth into that. And the cities of the nations fell. God remembered Babylon the Great to make it drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away. No mountains were to be found. Great hailstones, about 50 kilograms each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail because the plague was so severe. And the angel revealed that nothing of the unrepentant world will be left. And so in Revelation 17, one of the angels came to John and called him. Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. This vision showed a dangerous woman. She committed sexual immorality with the kings of the world, seduced them to become drunk with her immorality. And we determined last week that she was a prostitute. She turned her back on the Lord and kept her busy with immorality. She was seated on many waters. The answer, Revelation 17, verse 15. The waters that you see are people and multitudes and nations and languages. The same world and people where the Lord gave the command to preach the gospel, gave his great commission. In Matthew 28, verse 19, the world was now giving the woman a purpose of where she operated in. And she was a person that lived from the prosperity of this world. And then she rides in a scarlet beast that governed for 42 months, blasphemed God, his names, and his dwelling. And the beast was allowed to make war on the saints and conquer them. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. John wanted to marvel in this woman's beauty. But an angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and the 10 horns that carried her. Last week we have discussed the woman sitting on the beast in full. And John made a startling discovery that she is the false church, the worldly church, who accommodates the influences of this world. And she's everywhere, dispersed over this world, seducing the people from God and the true church. And she also sits on the seat of international politics. She regulates what political leaders should say, and she made compromises with this world. Today we will go deeper into the beast as the angel explained it. The verse 8 we read, the beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not, and is to come. And so the history of the beast is explained. One thing that we need to remember, the book of Revelation, it's a book about history, the book of the present, but also the book of the future. Prophetic book, apocalyptic, which also mean hidden. And this history of the beast was, is a reference to the old empires in the Bible. And if you remember Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, where Daniel saw empires that came from the sea, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and a terrible beast with four heads and 10 horns. And so Daniel described world governments, the old Babylonian government, the Syrian world government with its capital Nineveh, who captured the 10 tribes of Israel, the new Babylonian government of Nebuchadnezzar, who took Judah and Benjamin in exile, and a Persian world government
And so Revelation 13 taught already that the beast had seven heads. John explained that the four beasts that Daniel saw in Daniel 7 would be combined in seven great one-world governments. And after the four beasts that Daniel saw, there would be a Greek Macedonian government. The general was Alexander the Great. All these things were fulfilled. That's history. The Roman world government of John's own time. And who ruled in the New Testament. And all these world governments returned in Revelation 13 as the same satanic world government. All the governments were destroyed. But there will be one last government which the world will marvel about and is about to rise. The beast was and is about to come. And this last beast will, the most terrible of all, will be the final one that rule over the world and all its nations. This is also the antithesis of God. But then the angel gave a great comfort. His life is determined by God. He's about to rise from the bottomless pit, go to destruction. And his end and demise have been determined by God already. And it's so clear it will be when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown alive into the fiery lake that burns with sulfur. That's Revelation 19, verse 20. And so verses 9 to 10 ask for wisdom. And then the angel explained, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. There are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he does come, he must remain only a little while. It can sound very confusing. And the angel asked for wisdom. The seven heads have two meanings. This is the embodiment of the beast in his present form, but also the embodiment in the past. The seven heads are a reference to the seven mountains of Rome. And Rome was a world government in John's time. It governed over the whole world. And it was the center of persecution against the church and the first believers. You've heard all about Nero, who crucified the Christians, threw them to the lions. But it was also the center of immorality. And Rome indulged in every pleasure of this world, every immorality they could think of. Homosexuality, like Nero, who had an enslaved man as his wife. Lewd acts in the arena. Prostitution that flourished, especially in the heathen temples. Widespread gambling. And this was Rome. Terrible, a horrible place to be a Christian in. And everything was allowed. And the woman was sitting on these mountains. She encouraged this behavior. And she persecuted those who did not want to participate. And so John said five of the emperors had fallen. This is in John's time. One need to come. The seventh has not come yet, but when he comes, he will remain only a little while. The Lord also determined his time. This will also pass. This was the fall of the Roman Empire. But then the angel reveals in verse 11, there will come an eighth king or emperor, and he will be the most terrible of all. He will do the same as the Roman emperors, but he's also different. Like the Roman emperors, insisted to be worshipped. He will also insist upon deification. And the whole earth will marvel as they follow the beast, especially those who were not written in the book of life. And they will worship the dragon, this is Satan, as he had given his authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? He will come from the bottomless pit, from Satan himself. And so eight is symbolic of a new time that will arrive, the time of the Antichrist to be revealed. But remember, the angel revealed, he will go to destruction. And the angel comforted. The angel also revealed there is one world government will rule, verse 12. He will appoint 10 kings. They will rule with the beast. Again, their time is limited. It will be only for 1 hour. Very short time. And so the angel said, they have not received their kingdoms yet, but with the coming of the Antichrist, they will receive their authority to rule. And these kings have one goal, to help the beast in his war against Christ and his church. They are united in their pursuit, and not divided. Matthew 12, verse 25, Jesus revealed that Satan's kingdom is not divided. Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Satan has a plan. It was revealed in Revelation 12. This is a war against Jesus and his church. And these kings will also be united in their purpose to destroy the church, make war against Christ. We can hear their propaganda now already. Comes down to acceptance of sin. Sounds good to hear. Free love, immorality, as the same as it was in Rome. And so the world is moving to that time. But it's the kingdom of slavery. And the kingdom of Satan, the lord of this world, is a kingdom of slavery. And if you belong to the kingdom of Satan, the lord of this world, you are still a slave to sin. Matthew 12, verse 28, we find the comfort that the kingdom of God has come. Jesus said, the kingdom is here. And for the Spirit, Jesus destroyed the work of Satan and healed the demon-possessed, forgave tax collectors and prostitutes their sin. And he forgave your sin and mine. He died for us on the cross. And through Jesus' humiliation and on the cross and resurrection from the dead, the power of Satan was broken. Satan had no place in heaven even anymore, Revelation 12, not even to accuse God's children as he did with Job. And Satan knows, the Bible reveals, that he doesn't have a lot of time. And in his government is united in his goal to destroy Jesus and his church. These things are not new. So the angel revealed that Antichrist and his 10 kings would have some success. Revelation 11 verse 7. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. Revelation 13 verse 7. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. But when the final war comes, our Lord Jesus Christ will conquer the beast, its kings, and its armies. This is Revelation 19, verse 11 to 21, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, that reads, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Beloved, the book of Revelation is not to confuse us, not to scare us even, but to prepare us and stand firm in difficult times, to stand firm in times where the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is attacked. Yes, we live in a time where the anti-Christian powers are preparing themselves for full-scale war against Christ and his church. There will also come a time, the angel revealed, when the beast and his authorities will hate the woman sitting on the beast. Verse 16, and the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate a prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. And the woman, the beast, the king, will destroy themselves because they rule with anarchy and fear and chaos. Their king is the devil, the ruler of this world. But God's kingdom is different. God's kingdom is a king of peace, of order. It's eternal because we have an everlasting king. And so Jesus taught us in a perfect prayer to pray in turbulent times, difficult times, to pray constantly, let thy kingdom come. Lord's Day 48 that we confessed, your kingdom comes means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that you are all in all. And if we pray, because this is what our King told us to do, to pray constantly, we pray that the authority of the word of God will rule in our lives. We therefore pray to the Lord to make us citizens of his kingdom and to serve him with greater willingness and faithfulness and commitment and obedience to his word. That the word is still the lamp to our feet. The word is the will of God, nowhere else to be found. It's the will of our King. And therefore, brothers and sisters, study God's word. Read the Bible regularly. Read it together. Attend to the preaching of the word, the fellowship of the believers, so that we can encourage one another. And then we will know the will of the Lord, and only goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And God speaks in his word to each of us through his spirit. And this is his intent, that a word will enter our hearts and impact our lives. The word requires accountability from us. And the task that we need to do, when we see all these things happening, pray continually. Lead us that we will be obedient to the Lord's word. And God wants to teach us by the living preaching of his word, and we will grow with the preaching of his word. Also, in the difficult texts of the Bible that are explained by the word himself, and where the Lord's full counsel is proclaimed. In John 8 verse 47, Jesus taught, whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And so we read in Romans 10 verse 14 and 15, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so the Bible and the word of God is the truth in our lives. And word and spirit can never be separated. And therefore, when we pray that God will work through his spirit in our hearts, make us willing to do what he commands in his word, to be a joy, to do what the Lord has commanded, to be faithful, to be willing, as he has instructed in his words. And in our obedience, we find joy and no rebellion. Rebellion is from the world of Satan. It means to do what I want. And so the Lord Jesus also instructed to keep our church strong and add to it. And this prayer should be a refrain in everyone's heart. And the false church, the woman sitting on the beast, there's the deception of Satan. We see commands like adultery is not sin. You can do what you want. Christ is not God. Jesus was not born out of the Virgin Mary and conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's a critical, liberal attack on God's word. And so the church in general, the universal Christian church, our congregations, our denomination experience the fierce onslaught of Satan in our times. Do not be surprised by that. Peter said, but be careful and stand firm in God's word. There's the danger of conforming to this world and our needs and changing the Bible accordingly. And people are doing that. But we confess that the Bible is written for all times. We should never stop praying for God's church, but also know that the church belongs to Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus assured that he has called the church, that he has built the church in himself, and that the gates of hell will never overcome it. Therefore we pray, when we pray the perfect prayer, Lord, strengthen me in faith that I can sincerely confess in my life that you are indeed the Lord and be faithful to your word. Grant that I can use my gifts willingly and cheerfully fully for your glory and the benefit of my brothers and sisters in your congregation. We know that Peter said, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we ask God's people to proclaim his kingdom here on earth. To proclaim the hope. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our King. Don't fear the King of darkness. And therefore we pray, destroy the devil's work. We ask the Lord that his kingdom will come in its fullness, and that the works of Satan throughout the whole earth will be destroyed. This will happen when Jesus returns. And we look forward to this day when Christ will come to fulfill the kingdom in its fullness. And Jesus, the kingdom has come, will come in full when he returns to complete his work, but also when he will come as the judge to judge the living and the dead. And then we read that the Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will be cast into the hell for all eternity. And every knee will bow before Jesus. Acknowledge that Jesus is the true King. And the whole earth will be filled with God's glory. This is our hope. Don't be scared. Don't be alarmed. But stand firm in God's word. This is our hope for the years to come. The knowledge that God is in control and that Satan has a limited time. His demise has been determined already. Stand firm in the Lord when the times are becoming more challenging. Romans 12 verse 12 is so clear. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Pray, Church of Christ, pray. Pray, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, you assured us in your words that we don't have to fear the kingdom of Satan because we are citizens of your kingdom. We are not from this world, but we belong to you. And this is our only comfort in life and death, that we belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins with his blood, that we can know in faith that our names are written in the book of life. Father, when we hear about the plans of Satan, then we can sometimes be scared. But you gave us the command to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. And we pray, Lord. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.